The views expressed on the following program are designed to amplify those of the speaker and are not necessarily those of KAAM, DJRD Broadcasting, or its sponsors.
Hello, everybody!
I've got sunshine on a cloudy day. When it's cold outside, I've got the month of May.
Welcome to the David Spoon Experience! Wow! Here's what's coming up on today's experience. Devotional Diamonds of the Day, also known as DDDs, where my daily devotions become some of our spiritual reflections. Sound effects placed throughout the show which have nothing to do with life, but they're a lot of fun. They make you smile. And everybody needs to smile every now and then. Okay, maybe more so than before. The review of the Goofy News, which proves Jesus is coming back sooner than you think he is. Certainly it's closer today than it was yesterday. Life lessons for our faith that we can actually use if we decide to be doers of the word and not just hearers. Humor that will force you to think, why does this guy have a radio show? Great question. Also, Bible trivia for fake and yet somehow real cool prizes. Is your phone calls and more.
Living this life, not always easy.
Welcome to the David Spoon Experience, local, national, and heavenly talk. My name is David Spoon. I will be your host for the next 5,400 seconds. Get ready for one of the more bizarre experiences on live radio. Here is the key to the show. We don't know what we're doing. We have no idea what's going to happen, and we don't care. But for the next few minutes, I want to talk faith with you, so here we go. We're asking questions about living life as a Christian. I just got a little bit of news from school. It could have been better. It just came to me 5 minutes before the show. It made my face frown. But you know what? I'm going to turn that frown upside down because I believe that God has a plan and a purpose for all of our lives. And the closer we draw in, the better off we are. I get that? That's just as clear as can be. So you might have an opinion, a comment, a thought, or a question. You might go through ups and downs. You might get news that is kinda eh and kinda eh. You might get things that you're thinking, well, I could have come a lot better than I thought it was, thought it would. That's okay. And you want to know why that's okay? Because there's nothing that you come across that the Lord doesn't know is going to happen. And he's already working in you, with you, and through you to make great things come about because he works all things together for good to them that love God, to them that are called according to his purpose. So if you have an opinion, a comment, a thought, or a question, you have a prayer request or a praise report, or perhaps you want to answer Bible trivia, which we'll get to in a little bit. We want you to have that opportunity to do so. Here, we'll keep it simple. You just call 972-445-0770. That's 972-445-0770. That's our phone number here. Terrific T answers the phone. You get a chance to say hi to her. That's terrific. And then you get on the air if you want to. You can also text us at 214-210-8483. That's 214-210-8483. That's our text number, which you can text the show while we're doing the show. Also, you can email us, david@hemustincrease.org. That's david@hemustincrease.org. It's not King David, because I'm not a king. It's just David, that really weird at sign, hemustincrease.org. Speaking of which, we want you to check out the website. The website has cool things on it. It has video, it has audio, it has a couple jokes, it has a couple links, it has some encouraging words, it has some sermons, it has some comments, and it has an opportunity to give if that's what the Lord puts on your heart. Please check out hemustincrease.org. Website hemustincrease.org, hemustincrease.org. Email david@hemustincrease.org. Facebook, He Must Increase Ministry. YouTube, He Must Increase Ministry. All right, so we want you to check out the website because there are some encouraging things on there. And for those that don't know or have not gone to HeMustIncrease.org, there's a kitchen sink. No, really, on the website, there's a kitchen sink. No, for real. That's just how we do things around here. So we got a couple things that we're going to be dealing with today. And again, if you want to call in, if you want prayer, if you've got a question, you got something you want to share, please do so. And the reason that I brought up the school, by the way, is to you understand, is every Christian that I have ever met who's been a Christian for more than an hour, okay, or okay, more than a day, they go through the process of a little bit up and a little bit down. They go through the process of this is going pretty well, but this can be going better. They go through that process. And the question is, do those up and downs have any reflection on what the Lord thinks about you or how much he loves you? And the answer is no. What all of those things are that we go through are opportunities for us to draw closer to the Lord and to draw in into his presence and to be strengthened by him. And for those of you out there that have never met Jesus Christ, you've never made that decision, you've never said, I want to be saved, I want to yield my life to the Savior and the Lord, I want Jesus to be my master, all you need to do is ask him to take control of your life, ask him to come and take residency in your heart by faith, the Holy Spirit will be poured into you, and you will have a new life. You have to believe in your heart that he died on the cross, and that he was buried, and that he rose again. He was seen by many people after that resurrection. He ascended to the Father, and he's going to be coming back. And your confession of that and your faith in that will put you in a position to go on a journey unlike any other, with nothing but fascinating and awesome revelations and illuminations that God brings us. Many people get tired and weary, whether they're Christians or not. The difference is when we get tired and weary, we have a place to go to find our rest and to find our strength. And that's in Jesus Christ. I encourage you, if you've never done that, it doesn't take a lot to do to start the journey, but you have to acknowledge, you have to surrender, you have to ask Jesus in your heart by faith, and you have to say, yes, Lord, and not just one yes, but a lifetime of yeses. But you'll find out that he has your best interests in mind, even when you don't have your best interests in mind. Ooh, there's a thought right there. Okay, let's pick it up from 1 Thessalonians chapter 3. Actually, it's chapter 2. It's the very last two verses of chapter 2. This is what Paul wrote. He said, "For who is our hope or joy or crown of boasting in the presence of our Lord Jesus at his coming? Is it not you? Indeed, you are our glory and our joy." One of the most amazing elements is finding out scientifically that your endorphins get released more often when you engage in sacrificial giving and in caring about others more than you care about yourself. There's a greater release of the natural endorphins. I don't think that's an accident. I think it's a testimony from God. When we are the center of everything in life, have you noticed that things bog down pretty fast? And we get so caught up in ourselves and things not being perfect that we get maybe a tad bit smirky and a little bit discouraged. But the great part about the kingdom of God, and this is Paul illustrating that, is that when we invest ourselves into others, when we pour ourselves into others, that when they're doing good, when they're being blessed, you get to participate. You get to be a part of that. You get to share in that. And the reality check is that when we, as believers in God who love God, when we exhibit love for one another and we care about how others are doing and they become one of our passions, we do better because we care for them. That's what's so amazing. Again, if you've ever prayed, you've prayed for yourself. I know your faith is, for some of you, it's pretty genuine, it's pretty strong. But when you pray for other people, don't you ever get that sense like, God, you can do this for them. You're awesome. It's almost like a step up on your faith, almost like a tick upwards. And what Paul is saying is, you guys are, oh man, you're just, it's so important to me that you do well and that things are going good. You're my joy. You're a big part of my glory. I love it. And I can tell you, as somebody who's done this radio show in Texas now for almost 2.5 years, in San Diego before that for 5 years, 5.5 years, I can tell you this one thing. when somebody calls the show and the Lord has encouraged them in some capacity, whether it's from other callers, whether it's a segment, whether it's a trivia question, quite frankly, it's not a joke very often. I want to point that out. But whatever it is, that is such a rush. It's such a blessing. We don't make money from that. It's like, oh goodness gracious, he just got, you know, five more macaroni elbow things. No, I don't. None of that happens. But what does happen is we share in that. We get to participate in the other person doing well. When somebody's doing bad, we jump in and we pray and we become a part of it. And their victory, their deliverance, their grace gives us hope and strength and confidence and helps us to focus not on ourselves but on how others are doing. That is what Jesus was talking about when he said, that by this shall all men know that you are my disciples, by your love one for another. When our love is genuine and we care and we want people to be doing well, that's what Paul was talking about when he says in Galatians, bear the burdens of one another and so fulfill the law of Christ. That's what he's talking about when Jesus said, love the Lord your God with all your heart, soul, strength, and mind, and love your neighbor as you love yourself. When our glory, our joy, a big part of that in our walk, our passion is the well-being of other believers, then we're starting to reflect Jesus, because everything he did, everything he taught, everything he does now in his intercessory position is for the benefit of us believers. That's why that's so cool. Because then we can connect and be like Jesus, okay? All right. Going to take a short break and then come back. You're listening to the David Spoon Experience right here on KAAM 770, the Christian station here in Texas. Don't go anywhere.
All of mankind, destroying everyone and everything we find. He's the heart.
Who is David Spoon? I have no idea. People have asked me about the David Spoon Experience. They wanted to know what I thought of him. Like any person searching for answers, I have wondered about him. He was born and raised Jewish, and after intense drug use, became a Christian. He's married to his best friend Noel, has 3 children, 6 grandchildren, plus 2 dogs named Levi and Bert. He has 3 separate ordinations from 3 different denominations, and is a summa cum laude for his BA degree in ministry and leadership, as well as a master's degree of theological studies, and is involved in a PhD program. He has a weird sense of humor and talks a lot. If people are seeking wisdom and insight from the great teachers around the world, would they go to David? No, I don't think so. And those big ears really don't help him. But would they enjoy his perspective on life, culture, politics, food, sports, local and national news? I don't know. I guess people will have to listen to find out.
Job, I want to read Job 3:25. I don't want anybody, look, I know that the teachings in the church, and being a Baptist, somebody who's got a Baptist ordination, a Pentecost ordination, somebody who understands what Calminian means, understands what the manifold millennialist is, I get it. I really do. I've been around for a little while. When you're hearing scripture, you don't have to put all the scriptures you hear in certain boxes so they fit your motif of a theology. Sometimes you can just look at it and observe it and go right for it and review it. And Job chapter 3, verse 25, one of the things that Job said is, what I feared has come upon me. What I dreaded has happened to me. There's a whole teaching on, it's because your confession wasn't good. I don't think that had anything to do with it. I think God was bragging about Job to Satan. Job didn't know that was going on. That's obvious. But there he is. God's bragging about him. And what Job is like going is like, this is the worst thing that I could think of. And that happens to people. Believers, good believers, great believers, fantastic believers, lousy believers, and everybody else. It's something that takes place. Sometimes bad things come about in the process. That doesn't mean that God hates you. First of all, the world has rebelled against God and lies in wickedness. So it's not God's fault that the world said, hey, we'll run this planet without you. We'll let you know. I mean, that's not God's fault. He's not the one that did that. People did that. And so the idea to understand is that sometimes these tough things happen. The great thing to know is that God has not left and went to Pluto while you're going through these things. In this particular case, in Job, it was completely the opposite of what Job thought, because God was bragging about him, and Job thought he was in some kind of trouble or some kind of judgment. Hey, guess what? Job was wrong. Something else was going on altogether, which is often the case. Welcome back to the David Spoon Experience. Thank you for joining us here at KAAM 770, the Christian station here in Texas. Okay, I hope you guys are ready for the first trivia question. Here we go. You ready? Here we go. You ready? Here we go. What is the name of the man whom King David arranged to have killed because he wanted his wife? What was the name of that guy? For those that are sitting there scratching your head, you can go to 2 Samuel chapter 11 to get that answer. What was the name? This is a tough one, right? Okay, right? Okay. What is the name of the man whom King David arranged to have killed because he wanted his wife? We have somebody calling in, so that'll be good. We get that chance to do that. We got people texting in. It's good to call, good to text, good to do all that stuff. It's always good. We're going to get to that other text portion in a second. Don't forget, tomorrow we're going to be doing the Book of Acts, just this absolutely fantastic, wonderful portion after Peter finishes his initial sermon. So we're going to talk about that. We're ready to have somebody do it. Okay, here we go. Here we go. This is David. Who am I talking to?
Hi, David. It's Deborah.
Hi, Deborah. I'm so glad you called. I just wanted to double check with you. I didn't ask you the other day, and it was my fault. I wanted to see how your friends were doing, to see if anybody was doing better or still needed prayer. So that was my bad.
Actually,
I didn't do that.
I'm glad. I was going to ask you today if you would pray for my friend Susie again.
Okay. To remind me about Susie's situation.
She's just doing really bad. She's overweight and has real high blood pressure. And she can't seem to find a doctor that cares, you know. It seems like she's been through doctor after doctor, and they don't seem to want to really help her. I don't understand it.
Well, I'll tell you what. We're going to pray for her. We're going to let you answer a trivia question, then we're going to pray together, okay? So let's do the trivia question, then we're going to pray for Susie and just ask the Lord to do a wonderful, miraculous thing in her life. So here we go. What is the name of the man who King David arranged to have killed because he wanted his wife?
I think it was Uriah the Hittite.
That is correct. You are right as can be. That poor guy. I feel so bad for that guy. That was one guy that he didn't do anything wrong. It's nothing he ever did wrong.
Doubt.
And he was like, oh, man, that really got the bad end of that process there. But David got the response from the Lord was swift and strong. So that was still merciful. But Uriah, Uriah the Hittite. All right, let's pray for Susie real quick. Let's do it. Let's just put our faith together, okay? Father, we come before you right now, and we love you, Lord. You're fantastic. You treat us so kindly, even though we're not the greatest people, we're not the most responsive people. We lift up Susie to you, and we just ask in this situation, she's having a hard time finding somebody to connect to, having a hard time finding a doctor, so we're asking you to help her, either guide her by the Spirit or bring somebody into her life through your anointing that can help her get a handle on some of this tough stuff she's doing. We really pray against the depression, Lord, because that depression is just like a thumb being pushed down on somebody's head, and we ask you to put some joy and some life and some hope in her heart that she does not quit or give up. We ask for your grace in her life, and just we just pray and thank you for Deborah and ask that you just keep praying for her and keep us posted. And we really pray your blessing in Susie's life, and we just thank you for Deborah, and we bless you and pray this in Jesus' name. Amen and amen.
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 Thank you so much.
You are more than welcome. You just keep us posted, and we'll kind of take it from there, okay?
All right. We all have a good afternoon.
Okay. God bless you.
Bye-bye.
Okay, bye-bye. All right, so I will say something. Somebody texted and goes, I'm not spelling it right. Don't worry. Just in case you guys don't know this is a secret I'm going to tell you. You guys might not have noticed this. Sometimes when I read the text and the names are really, really, really hard, I say them really fast just to get by them. You know, it's like, yeah, I know. I shouldn't do that. I should be more scholarly. Oh, well. You know, it's just like, I don't want to spend 90 years just trying to figure out how to say everybody's name. Anyhow, so never worry about that, folks. It's okay. All right, so I want to go back to the Texas. Great job. Be praying. Be praying for Susie. That's a friend of Deborah's. Deborah's a faithful, diligent listener, plus a fantastic answerer in trivia. I don't know what you call that. A fantastic trivia answerer person. But let's go back to this text. I want to bring this up to you real quickly. This is in chapter 3 of 1 Thessalonians. It says, therefore, when we could no longer stand it, we thought it was better to be left alone in Athens. So we sent Timothy, our brother and God's co-worker in the gospel of Christ, to strengthen and encourage you concerning your faith. This text is so, you can just spend so much time in it, but Paul is basically telling the church at Colossae, he's saying, look, we were so concerned about you that to the church at Thessalonica, he was so concerned about you that we just stayed here by ourselves and we sent Timothy off to you because we wanted to know how you guys were doing and we really care about how you are. Remember that verse we talked about just prior, how it's so important to Paul that they're a sense of his glory and his joy, and he really cares about their wellness. And so he's like, we can't take it anymore. We send Timothy to you. He's God's co-worker. Number one point, you are also a co-worker of God. Okay? Let me say this real quickly. I'm a radio guy. What are the old radios good for? Nothing but receiving. Okay? You can't be an old radio. You can't just be a receiver. You have to be a giver too. You can't just be taking in the transmission. You got to be sharing as well. You can't just be learning. You got to be communicating what you're learning. So you're a co-worker of God. You're called to be a part of the kingdom of God. You're called to be a servant of God. If it's prayer, just so you can know, prayer moves God and God moves nations. Okay, so that's good to know, isn't it? Right? Prayer moves God, and God moves universes. Oh, no, not just one. God knows alternate universes. We've already talked about that in Scripture before. So you are a co-worker. And then this is what Paul says this co-working should be all about. We sent Timothy, our brother and co-worker in the gospel of Christ, to strengthen and encourage you concerning your faith. You want to know what it is that you and I are supposed to do as co-workers of God? That is to strengthen and encourage one another concerning faith. And one of the things in my doctoral studies that I really like, I'm challenged by it, but I like it, is there's a discussion about trying to be more sensitive to the Lord and identifying people that you can be encouraging and you can be strengthening in some capacity, even beginning that process by praying. So they go through the kind of not a rule book, but kind of a ways, an approach or a strategy to go about that. And one of the ways is you pray before the Lord and you say, you know, I want to be a person like that who strengthens and encourages other because you've given me so much strength, so much encouragement, and I'm not always doing perfect, but I'm just going to do my best to be that encourager. Please bring that person to my mind or bring that person into my life. And you present yourself to the Lord, and the Lord will use you. He will use you to be a person who brings strength and encouragement to others. One of the best parts about that is when it talks about encouraging or strengthening others, it's not because you're superior or you're better or you're a better Christian or you know more. In fact, what it says is that people do more encouragement when they share the hardships they go through and let them know that they're still remaining faithful in the faith, even though it's hard. That actually brings more encouragement to the typical believer. So what I'm encouraging you to do is to present yourself to the Lord to be a vessel, a co-worker of God, and a vessel to strengthen and encourage others. Now, I know that some of you are doing that with people in your life right now. So I'm not saying you should stop doing that by any means. I'm simply asking you to open that up to add just one more person. Add one more person that you may be a blessing to, that you may be an encouragement to, that you may demonstrate that you're God's co-worker and help them. Because what a great title and position and definition to have, where the Lord may say of you and of I, or you and me, they strengthened and encouraged my people. I mean, how wonderful is that? The irony is God is looking for people to present themselves to do that. And that's really what discipleship is, helping other people follow Jesus a little bit better. That's what it's about. And so in that process of fulfilling that great commission, you come across believers, be that encouragement, be that strength, be that, what's the word I'm looking for? Yeah, kind of like that encouraging shot in the arm kind of mentality, although I don't think I've ever had a shot in the arm and that was encouraging. But be that person that gives them that jolt and that uplifting and that enforcement and reinforcement to God's truth, that God is with us even when it feels weird, that he's never abandoned us, he's never been unfaithful to us, and he never will be. We just don't understand it all, and that's a big part of trust, hanging on while God is doing the things that he's doing. And the rope that we hang on to is faith, and the faith that we have in God is his goodness, that he loves us. It's like, yeah. And that rope is Jesus, by the way, just in case you're trying to figure that out. That's the kind of stuff we got to be doing. That's the kind of action and attitude the church has to be exhibiting. And you'll hear me talk about this more and more and more, because this is what the Lord is calling the church into. And you're a part of the church at large. Okay? Okay. All right, we're going to take our break and then come back. You're listening to the David Spoon Experience right here on KAAM 770, the Christian station here in Texas. Short break, top of the hour. Don't go anywhere. We'll be back.
Can't stand the skill, can't stand the shame. It may be false.
The David Spoon Experience is now run by He Must Increase Ministry. What this means is that we are no longer operating as a regular business, but as a nonprofit ministry that is devoted to increasing the ministry of Jesus Christ. Our mission is to educate, encourage, and entertain Bible believers, the wounded and forgotten believers, and the not yet believers through biblical truths. We are funded by listeners like yourselves and ministry partners that want to provide sponsorships for the show. Your donations are 100% tax deductible. And the great news is, if you donate to our ministry and help us advance the kingdom of God, we won't give you a thing. That's right, you'll get no special prize or gimmick. You won't ever get an anointed Bible or penny in acrylic so that you're never penniless, or a guarantee that you'll become rich just because you gave. Your giving will support our unique idea of biblical encouragement. And what you'll receive is a receipt for your giving at the end of the year. It's all about sowing and reaping. Cast your bread upon the water and it will return to you. And if you sow bountifully, you will reap bountifully. But you'll be laying up treasures in heaven. And that's the most excellent place to receive the best return for the longest time on your investment. What happens if you don't give? Nothing, except more commercials like this one. Let's spare everyone from more commercials like this one. Go to hemustincrease.org. That's hemustincrease.org. And give if you're led to and if you're able to. Let's keep the show going and help increase its time and reach. You must like this show a little bit, because after all, you're hearing this commercial, right? Thank you.
What is the David Spoon Experience?
First and foremost, we want to review our most important element of the day, and that is our DNA. Why is DNA important? Because a Christian should know what they're made of no matter what they're going through. Can I say this again as I've said it before? Let me do it real quick. Ready? More news is coming. I know it sounds prophetic, doesn't it? More, even different news today, tomorrow, and the next day, and for the next week, and the next month, and the next year, and the next decade. Da-da-da, that's good. So in lieu of that, we have to have a certain way, and we need to be. Our DNA, Christian DNA, has three elements. D stands for draw closer to the Lord.
Daily.
Daily. Number two, never be ashamed. Never be ashamed of the Lord and his words. And A, always be ready to
serve.
Serve. There you go. So it's three simple things. DNA.